Very, very beautiful song. I think we're going to hear that one again. I just want you. Wish I could sing that good. Anyways, happy Wednesday to everybody. I love you and appreciate you. And it is a good day to be alive. It's a good day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. And it's a good day to be a toad frog out there. If you like the mud and the water, or you're a piggy. Man, we got some rain. I don't know about everybody else everywhere else, but we got some rain. Speaking of that, do pray, continuously pray for those in Houston, for those tornadoes, Louisiana area, pretty catastrophic damage they had in that region. It's almost impossible to get up here and just say, pray for this place. That just pray. Just pray. The whole world's having issues. And But I wanted to give a shout-out to those in that Texas area and Louisiana. We have a lot of family in that area, and we're just asking God to restore and help out in Jesus' name. And anywhere else there's stuff going on. Is that good enough? That should cover all the bases, I would hope. All right, so last time we got together, we was in part 34, and we were talking about enduring torture. You remember that? It's not a marriage session, by the way, but y'all catch that later. But it was dealing with torture, dealing with Joseph. We won't go through all of it, but I'll give you just some of the scriptures. Genesis 39:20. Go back and look at that. Judges 16:21-31. And then I gave you that scripture, Psalms 105:18, that spoke of how that, in one translation, the very iron of the shackles that were upon and on, if you will, upon Joseph, tried his soul. And again, that's what faith will do. Faith will try your soul. Situations will try your soul to where, you know, it's like, either God, you don't show up or I'm done. Either this thing works or it don't. Either you help me or, you know, this is it. I'm checking out, you know. And so times like that happen, and God allows our faith to be stretched, to be challenged in order for this, watch this, to be forged and fortified inside of us to where it becomes in a so strong, such an indelible mark, nobody can pull you off of it. You see, that's why you go through things. We go through things in Christianity, and we go through deep things and hurting things. And if we pass the test and we do well with them by trusting God and enduring, then what happens is, again, we're forged. It's forged inside of us. It's fortified inside of us to where when we go through the next problem, we're stronger than we ever were. When someone else around us has an issue, we're an anchor, and we're helping them become stronger than they ever were before. And so God allows that to take place. So this is why he put that in there in Hebrews 11, not to show you that these guys were some supermen and superwomen. They weren't without God. But with God, all things are possible. And faith will do for you what a phone booth did for Clark Kent. It'll turn you into a Superman. I mean, that's what it will do. And so he allows these trials to go through, and this is why we're teaching this, and this is why it's put in here. So Joseph, and that scripture is really great, because I don't know about you, I've walked through many, many trials to where the very iron, the very metal of the trial, the very caustic poison, if you will, the acid, whatever, of the whole situation has just tried my soul. And it's like, Lord God, I trust you. I believe you. I can't trace you. I can't really see you. I'm having a hard time hearing you, but I trust you. And at that time, you look back, and there's only one footprint, right? That's God's footprints picking you up and carrying you. So you remember that story. All right, so we move forward, and then we're talking about endured mockings and scourgings and bonds and imprisonments. Again, Genesis 39:20, and then Jeremiah 37:16. We don't have to go into that, the total back up on the screen, but basically we know that Jeremiah, man, he prophesies, he does what he's supposed to do, and he goes into a pit. He prophesies, does what he's supposed to do, and he goes into a prison cell. I mean, doesn't it seem odd sometimes? And I should preach a message called, not understanding God or calling him, Mr. Heckel, was it Mr. Jai, Dr. Heckel Jai, whatever. You know, we sometimes don't understand God. What's the madness to this scientific program or experiment I'm in? Do you ever feel that way sometimes? Why are you letting this happen to me? You're all powerful, you're all God, you're all sovereign, you're everywhere, but I'm struggling. You know, and we look at God and say, where is God in our time of crisis? God is right there. He's never left. He's always the same. He never changes. In fact, he increases in those times. Again, it just makes our faith go deeper and deeper and deeper. And so here's Jeremiah doing what he was supposed to do, and then he finds himself in peril and problems, imprisonment and beatings and all those different things. Again, it sounds crazy because in human life outside of Christ, we think life should be perfect, don't we? I'm going to look at everybody. Nobody likes to get hurt, right? Whether it's physically or emotionally, I don't like hangnails. I think I'd rather smash my finger with a, well, I'd rather not smash anything, but, you know, hit my finger with a hammer than have a hangnail. I don't know. It's kind of weird. You get what I'm saying. So the point is, in faith, we have to go through the trials, and it's making us stronger. Again, it sounds like he's a mad scientist, you know. All right, so the next thing was they suffered stonings. No, in fact, that's where we're going to go right now, part 35. Yeah, we got to talk about stonings. All right. Some of the old rockers say, yeah, no, not that stoning. All right, Second Chronicles chapter 24. We're not that kind of church, not a hippie church. Let's go to verse 1. Let's look at some of this stuff. Is this okay? I didn't go long with my recap because I want to get through this. And Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Ziba of Beersheba. Now, I'm just going to, Joshua, I'll probably have you skim through, but just continue, and if I tell you to jump, just jump a little bit, okay? And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. And Jehoiada took him from two wives, and he begot sons and daughters. And it came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. So there's going to be some restoration going on. This is a pretty good story so far, right? And he gathered together the priests and the Levites and said to them, go into the cities of Judah and gather all Israel money to repair the house of your God. See, they took up an offering too, didn't they? Thank you. From year to year, and see that you hastened the matter. Howbeit the Levites hastened it not. Way to go, guys. Next verse. And the king called for Jedidiah the chief, and he said unto him, why hast thou not required of the Levites to bring in out of Judah and out of Jerusalem in the collection according to the commandment of Moses, the servant of the Lord, and of the congregation of Israel for the tabernacle of witness? So they were supposed to do something, and they didn't. For the sons of Atalah, that wicked woman, had broken up the house of God and also the dedicated things of the Lord of the house, which was bestowed upon Balaam. So the story is giving us from a time of a restoration, a good story, good things. Now we're getting into what the whole issue was by this wicked woman. And at the king's commandment, they made a chest and set it without the gate of the house of the Lord. How many of y'all know that's why we take an offering bucket? Some churches have them actually in the back. Some have them at the altar where you give your offering. That's cool, whichever way. It needs to be done. They proclaimed through Judah and Jerusalem to bring in to the Lord the collection that Moses, the servant of God, had laid upon Israel in the wilderness. Pretty good, isn't it? Now you kind of know why we do church the way we do. And all the princes and all the people rejoiced and brought in and cast the chest until they made an end. Go to verse 15. So let's pass through, if you don't mind. There you go. And Jedidiah waxed old and was full of days when he died, 130 years old when he died. So there's a change, right? There's a change fixing to take place. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings because he had done good in Israel, both towards God and toward the house of Israel, toward his house. Now after the death of Jedidiah came the princes of Judah and made obstinance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them. Now, watch how the story progresses. The princes of Judah came in, and they basically talked some stuff to the king, right? And the king listened, all right? And they left the house of God of their fathers and served the groves and idols, and wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for their trespass. Sounds pretty normal to me. All right. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again into the Lord, and they testified against them, but they would not give ear. So God is setting them up, saying, okay, I got some prophets coming here. You guys are doing the wrong thing. You're not listening. You're not listening. Hello, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Right? God is merciful. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, and stood above the people and said unto them, thus saith God, why you transgress the commandments of the Lord that you cannot prosper, because you have forsaken the Lord, and he has also forsaken you. So he's prophesying, Zechariah is prophesying, right? Next verse, he's doing what he's supposed to do. Remember I said, sometimes you're doing what you're supposed to do, and they conspired against him. I've been in a church like that before. And they stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king. Where? In the court of the house of the Lord. Thanks, God. Zechariah, I need you to go up there. I need you to prophesy. And then they're going to stone you and kill you and come on up here. He probably didn't tell him the stoning part, but he did tell him to go prophesy. Is that right? So the writer of Hebrews, which I believe is Paul, he puts it in there for inspiration and for doctrine and for truth for us to understand that sometimes there are things that God will cause you to do and want you to do through faith that seems like will be the death of you. But it's not. It's actually the life of you, because it's the assignment God gave you. Now, in temporary understanding, I'm not talking about actual physical death, but maybe there is a temporal death to you. In other words, sometimes some things that God wants you to do, you have to lay down some of your desires you've always had to pick up what he wants. The Bible says that God will give you desires of your heart, but see, Christians in America misquote that because they think that means that whatever I desire in my heart, I'm going to get. That's not what that means. That means that God will give you desires of his heart that's in your heart. Because if we went by our desires, watch us now. We'd have married a whole lot of different people at a whole lot of different times. Somebody help me. You know what I mean? We'd be driving somebody else's four-wheel drive. Or whatever, because that would be a false desire, wouldn't it? But if I go by the desires of the heart, my flesh says, I want this, but my heart says, no, you can't have that. This is for you, and this is from God. So we have to understand that. So It's building a faith. But here he is. He gets stoned with stones at the commandment of the Lord, the commandment of the king in the court of the house of the Lord. Man, that is terrible. All right, next verse. But that's the way it goes. Thus Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done unto him, but slew his son. And when he died, he said, the Lord looked upon it and required it. And so I wanted to share that with you. And that actually ends it right there for the sufferings concerning stonings. Now, we know other places in the Word there was, but in this particular incident for Hebrews 11:36, there you go. That's not good, is it? But sometimes that is the way it is with faith. The next one was going back to Hebrews 11, they endured death by sawing. Now, this is interesting. They endured death by sawing. What is that about? What is that about? So they're in prison, they're beaten, they're tortured, then they get stoned. Now he says they're sawed. Man, I'm starting to look at this faith thing, and I'm like, whoa, hey, you know, hey. Remember, this isn't a call to ministry, Hebrews 11. This is a call to faith. This is a call for all of us. If we're going to walk by faith, it doesn't matter where the path takes us. We got to walk by it. See, this is, I'm just going to crank this thing open. This is the thing about Christianity in America is based on individualism. What is good for me? What is right for me? What can I get for me? What am I going to jam in the me? Because it's me. I'm individual. The biblical way of Christianity is corporate, singular in relation to God, but corporate in relation to the world and to our brothers and sisters. So I don't live unto myself, I live unto God, but I live unto you too. Because I'm accountable to God, but I'm also responsible for you. I am an individual. I get that in my relationship personal with God. But what I get in my life is not just to be stored for me, it's to be shared. I'm to be a corporate blessing. Does that make sense? Now, I don't mean in a free willy type of way, hey, come into my house and take whatever you want. No, we can have a talk at the front yard if you make it to the gate. I mean, you know, we're... But in essence, I'm supposed to be open. I'm a living, what, epistle. I'm a living book. So are you, a living letter. And so we have this individual mindset that, you know, it's all about me and what can I get in America? What, you know, what's my name going to be? What are they going to remember me? They're not going to remember you. You see? And so we have to get away from that because the third world doesn't think this way. The true church outside of the American church, meaning those that have not been infected by, you know, the poison of prosperity and commercialization, all that stuff that goes on, they don't think that way. You look at the Church of Iran. The Church of Iran is an underground church. It's not an above-ground church, and it is a very powerful networking church. It's the fastest-growing church in the world is in Iran. Probably the second would be China and India and somewhere in that area. The whole shift, is this okay? What has happened is there was a great movement of God back in the 90s into the 2000s, somewhere in that region, for South America. South America was on fire, great revivals coming out of Argentina, coming out of great, you know, just great moves of God all over Cuba, different places. And God's still doing things, but there was a great movement that way. And the 1040 window kind of was overlooked. Now we're seeing those from that region of South America now are going to the 1040 window to evangelize because they knew and know what it's like to be in a drought and then have revival. So it's a great movement that's happening in the church today, a great shift. Why did I say that? I mean, other than to say that, you know, when we're operating by faith, we're living by faith, it's not about us individually. It's about corporately. God, what do you want to do? What do you want to do with my life? What do you want to do with Ignited? What do you want to do with my faith? Does that make any sense? Without getting into some preaching about world missions, which felt pretty good, it's just an understanding that we don't have. It's all about individuals, and it's not. So they endured death by sowing. So sowing. You see there it says they. So we know there's more than one, but there is a high probability. Watch this. This is talking about Isaiah. Isaiah. Now we know Isaiah died. He was a martyr, but we don't really have any biblical proof of his death as far as how he died. But according to traditions in some books that were written about 1000 AD, you know, years afterwards, historical Jewish writings, what had happened was that he had escaped and ran away from King Manasseh. We find that, I believe, 2 Kings 21. You can look up the story, at least about him and Manasseh. But it says in tradition that he climbed into a tree, actually got inside of a tree and hid himself. And they found him and they sawed him and the tree in half. That's traditional, and it's been carried on through the centuries that is truth. Either way, it fits probably what happened with Isaiah. It doesn't matter if it was Isaiah or Fred. The Bible says they were sawed. So I just wanted to tell you, if you're looking for textual proof, give me a scripture. I can't give you the scripture. I can give you history. And believe me, there are other books and writings out there that are outside the Bible that are proof of what happened in the Bible. I'm not going to get into that because if you do that, some people just pull their hair out. They're like, what? King James only. They do. Their fangs come out. They hate you. You're of the devil. 666. You know, the whole nine yards. It's like, no, dude, chill out, man. There's the book of you know, there's the book of the fathers, Josephus. Come on, there's so many writings out there. You have to be careful some of the rabbinical teachings that are more of the oral type, you know, taking oral traditions and writing down. Those you have to be careful about. But anyways, isn't that interesting? But here's the point. That got sawed in half. Look, man, faith, you know, again, we look at faith as such an adventurous thing, and it's, I'm a man of faith, you know, and what? Sometimes, man, faith will cost you everything. And again, America is not ready for this. America is not ready. The church is really not ready for these type of things in our lives because, again, we're individuals. We're creatures of comfort, comfort creatures. Man, we're couch potatoes. You know, we have a system. Man, we get up. We go to church. Well, we drag ourselves to church. We get there. We listen to the guy bumble around, fumble around, do his thing. Then we go eat. Then we take a nap. Come on. We have this little routine. I remember growing up going to church, man. I knew he was going to get out there right at 12 because the stew was being cooked at the house in the crock pot, and we had to be there at 12:15 or the house would burn down. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? And by the time I got done with that roasted whatever, it was football time. The game was on. And then go Sunday night? No way. No way, that's for losers. I'm not going Sunday night. The game might go in overtime. How many of y'all know that? We get into that routine. But see, faith will require you to get out of that routine. Faith will get you away from that individualism, and faith will get you into the corporate mindset. And I'm really believing for, and I know it's going to happen, to where the church is going to do that. Because on the day of Pentecost, that's what the church was. It went from being individuals from various nations of the world, everybody gathered together at Pentecost, into a corporate move of the Spirit of God. And that's how the church was birthed. Isn't that powerful? That's why I believe house churches, which, you know, I feel like we're like, you know, like headquarters for house churches all over America. That's what's coming back to the world, house churches. And we're going to be a part of leading that and helping them in Jesus' name. All right, so I thought that was pretty cool information. All right, they suffered temptations. Anybody ever suffer temptation? If you haven't, you don't have a pulse. Go to Genesis 39. Let's look at verse 1. We've been there already with this story, but we're going to touch on it again. Genesis 39. And so, again, I love God for a lot of reasons, for every reason, I guess. But for the main reason, I think, when I teach on faith, I love him so much is he's so honest with everything. He doesn't leave anything out. You know, I think if I were God, and I'm not, and I was going to author something, I would kind of lay it out, you know, leave out some of the bad stuff. Wouldn't you? I mean, I kind of like everything's great, awesome, you know, write a good story. He didn't do that. He allowed us to see that humanity is frail. He allowed us to see that without faith, it's impossible to please him. He gave us this currency of heaven to operate on earth that pleased him, and it's called faith. It's called faith, and I think, again, we haven't even dived into the totality of it. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him. What did he do? He bought him out of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. We talked about this, didn't we? Okay, and the Lord was with Joseph. And Joseph was a prosperous man. Now, notice this story here. He's in a pit, now he's in Potiphar's house, but God said, I'm with you, and he became prosperous. See, the outside elements didn't match, did it? The outside elements did not match of the inner conviction of his faith and the dream that God gave him of what he would be someday. See, faith and outside stuff don't mix sometimes. Sometimes I don't feel like a man of faith. Sometimes I don't feel like I got a lot of faith. But God picks you up and says, move. Go on, do it. Put one foot in front of the other. Remember that old song? Yeah, put the one foot in front of it. Just keep moving. Keep moving forward. But Lord, I don't feel like it. I don't want to. I'm not a superhero. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You can do this, right? And the Lord's with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. He was in the house of the master of his master, the Egyptian. Now, look at the irony of this. The Lord's with him. He's prosperous, but he has a master who's an Egyptian. Read that with me. The Lord is with him, sovereign God, King of all kings, creator of heaven and earth. He prospers him. And he was in the house of a master who was an Egyptian who was totally alienated from the covenant of God, totally foreign, like an alien. And he's my master. Doesn't seem right, does it? Doesn't seem right. The Lord is with us. He's prospered us, but yet we live in this stinking world. Right? We have all these things against us and bondages and, you know, laws and this and that. Everything, you know, time frames and time constraints and weight limits and overweight limits. And I'm looking everywhere. And all the stuff that we have in life. But God says, I'm with you and you are prosperous. How? Through faith. Because the faith, the vision, the dreams that was inside of Joseph carried him through. Watch this. It'll carry me and you through. Next verse. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord had made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Come on now, faith will make you look good. Yeah, I'll tell your neighbor that. Faith makes you look good. And Joseph found what? Grace in his sight, and he served him and made him overseer of his house and all that he had put into his hand. So Joseph found grace. Grace came how? Through faith. And remember I told you, faith will produce favor. Faith will produce favor. You be faithful over the small things, God will make you ruler over much. He'll make you favored. I don't want to go in a little extra early. Go. I don't want to stay a little extra late. Do it. Whatever God is requiring you, you do it unto pleasing God, not unto man. And God takes record and says, yep, that's my boy. That's my girl right there working a little OT just like me. You know, God's a workaholic. He's a workaholic. He's working on you. Whew. That's 24/7, 365 plus 7, if that makes any sense. I mean, come on. He don't take no breaks. Amen. He's a workaholic, and I'm glad for that. And I think that's in all of our hearts. Well, some of us. All right, next verse. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for whose sake? Jacob's. How did Jacob get in there? That's kind of like Hananiah, Hananiah, Hannah. Remember that? Been a long day, honey. It's been a long, waterlogged. I remember this guy, when I first got saved, I went to this Christian retreat and they had this Christian comedian up there. And I don't, you know, I just got saved, so things weren't funny to me. You know, I was just trying to get saved, you know, stay saved. He got up there and he started preaching, and his whole comics routine was to do everything backwards, say it wrong, that Moses was with Noah's Ark, and, you know, it was just threw out all these names that didn't fit in the stories. And I was going, what? Yeah. That's kind of what just happened there. All right. So it came to pass for the time that he had made overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. I had to get that in there. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in his house and in the field. So again, you see what faith has done. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. He knew not that he had save the bread which he did eat. That's pretty wild right there. And Joseph was a goodly person, and he was what? Well favored. Again, his dream, the vision, the faith inside of him was the palace. That's where he belonged. He was destined. Do you realize or recognize the dream that he had? That his whole family would bow, the stars would bow, the whole basic universe, the whole world would bow to him, and he's over at this dude's house? This is messed up, man. First of all, my brother threw me into a pit, and then these Ishmaelites who are you know, concerning the Jews. And now I'm in this guy's house. I'm looking better. I'm making great money, but I'm stuck. I'm still a slave. Paid or not, you're a slave. If you ain't got freedom to go in and out, you're a slave. Sounds like some of our jobs, right? But he was well favored. Again, you're watching this, the incubator of faith. You're watching this take place. This is why we're teaching this. All right, next verse. And it came to pass after he said that his master's wife, oh, here we go, the woman, cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. All right, next verse. But he refused. Good man. And he said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in this house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. We're not going to go any further there. We'll skip that particular part because it's everybody knows the story. So she basically lied on him. Is that right? Lied on him. But he continued to walk by faith and live by faith. Go to verse 15 somewhere there, and then we'll jump to the next subject there. That looks pretty wild. It's like psychedelic, man. And it came to pass when he heard that, he lifted up his voice and he cried that he left his garment with him, and he fled and he got out. So it took that many verses to get away from that witch. Is that right? There's a story right there. We'll wait to another day. All right, 16. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. Man, I could preach a lot about this, but let's go. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought me came into me to mock me. So we'll stop there. Because what happens, he believes, Potiphar believes his wife, of course. And, you know, if you watch the movie that we've watched, which I do recommend you getting that movie. It's called Joseph. It's a tremendous movie. She persisted and persisted and persisted. Potiphar in the movie knew or felt that Joseph was innocent. And I think that was kind of based on truth, because look how much money he brought him. What a blessing. And the other part was, don't you think he would have a soft heart not to let that guy go? But she was overwhelming, kept pushing, kept pushing, kept pushing, what have you. So we know what happens. He goes into prison. The point is this. The promise is the palace. He goes into the pit. He goes into Potiphar's house. He gets lied upon. Then he goes into the prison. He tells dreams and prophecies. And then what? He's forgotten. And that iron goes into him and tries him. All of this, watch this, all of this because of faith. And then you wonder, catch this whole picture here, you wonder, why am I going through what I'm going through? Why has God allowed me to go through these things? Now, I'm talking not things that are self-inflicted, because you made mistakes or I made mistakes, but just my daily walk. I'm trying to walk. I'm trying to do right. I'm trying to be faithful, and I'm battling this. I'm going through that. It's because of the faith within you. It doesn't make sense naturally. Why don't you just give it to me? Right? You ever get a present that the box is like this big and that tall, and you get down to it and someone was playing a joke and it goes down in a real small box? I've done that before. It's very funny to watch somebody keep pulling the box. You know, sometimes it's that way. It's like, Lord, just give me the box. Give me my stuff. But he doesn't do it that way, because he doesn't want that. He doesn't want you to have stuff and then be shallow. He doesn't want you to have the victory without being victorious. It's not so much of a victory if I wake up and everything's fine. It would be a victory when I go through some stuff and I get to the end and I say, whoo, God, thank you. Awesome. Jesus, you're wonderful. This is why we're teaching this. This is why we have to understand this. Because faith is not always the slot machine of heaven. Just roll it, man, and God, just give me, give me, give me. My name is Jimmy. That's not how this works. And I begin to understand, as I get younger in life, I begin to understand that God is doing more inside of me than he's doing to me. Some of y'all don't understand that. He's doing more inside of me than what he's doing to me on the outside. Because my victory is not in what I gain. I can't take nothing. But what I'm gaining is in heaven. I'm making an impact on earth, yes, but what I'm gaining is in heaven. And this is beyond the reality of what we have today. And it seems pie in the sky, and I don't understand that, Pastor. That don't make no sense. I want it now. I get that. But there's a time you have to grow up and say, you know what? It's more than me and my individualism. And this is what Hebrews 11 is teaching. I'm telling you, I hope you catch this, especially these parts about hardship, because he's pulling away the individualism that we have. And he's looking at the corporate reasons. Did this individually happen to Joseph? Yes. But what was the good of it? Corporately. Good stuff happened to him? Yeah. But that was individual. That's small compared to what God had planned, which was corporate. Does that make sense? So again, outside of being self-inflicted and stuff we've done, bad decisions, stuff like that, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just the call of God on our life, the faith that's inside of us. You told me, God, to sow. You told me to give. I gave. I give my tithes. I do this. I'm just using these as examples. You know, then I get hit with this, and I got hit with that. Then somebody took that. Come on. The bag I had has a hole in it. And God's like, keep sowing. Keep giving. That doesn't change the principle whatsoever. Look what you're doing corporately and quit looking at yourself individually. That's a powerful truth. And I hope you're catching that tonight and through all this teaching, but really now as we're getting down to this point. Okay, so they suffer temptations, and Hebrews talks some more, and they said they suffered martyrdom by the sword. Let's go to 2 Samuel 22:18. 1 Samuel 22:18. That sounds like fun. They died by the sword. And the king said to Doeg, turn thou and fall upon the priests. And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priests and slew the day 85 persons that did wear a linen ephod. What happened? A bunch of priests died. That's a lot of folks. It's just real quiet in here. Oh, okay. Okay, what does that mean? No, I don't know. It just means they died. No, it means that they gave their life for what? For faith. They gave their life by faith. Hebrews, again, this Paul's going to bring this to a climactic understanding here, and I don't know if I'm going to get to it tonight, but he's bringing this thing to an end. And for a reason of this, because if you read this outside of the end, you're like, oh my gosh, who wants to live by faith? Pit, stone, no water, mire, you know, stab, women chasing you, you know, blah, blah, blah. I don't think I want to do this. No, he's trying to tell you that there's going to be trials. There's going to be tribulations. There's going to be testings. But they were what? They were killed. 1 Kings 19:10. Let's go there real quick. If you guys give me five after, I'll finish this whole thing. Can I do that? I didn't say eight. I just said five after. Can I pick the hour? See that? You got to be specific. Be specific. All right. Are you there? Check this out. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord of hosts, for the children of Israel, who have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. I, even I, have left, and they seek my life to take it. So what, see it right here? Thrown down the altars and did what? Slain thy prophets with the sword. Again, you say, I don't understand that. Well, it just means that, you know, when you live by faith, there's just things you'll have to lay down. Will it mean your life someday? I do not know. I think we're arrogant in America to say that'll never happen to me. I don't think you should be that way. I think what we should be is, number one, I don't have a death wish. I'm not Charles Bronson. You know, I'm not a vigilante. I don't want anything to happen or to me or anybody. But I recognize and realize that if I walk by faith, I do have a target on my back. I realize if I walk by faith and God gives me an assignment, there's risks. And if there's no risk to me physically, then there's risks, you know, just in my daily life, just in the fact, meaning there may not be risk to death, but there could be risk, you know, to myself, my identity, my personality, what people think about me. Does that make sense? My emotions. You know, sometimes being a Christian, just standing up in the workplace today is rough. There was a guy the other day back at, I think it was in the Mall of America. He had a Jesus shirt on. It just said Jesus, something about getting saved. They were throwing him out of the mall. They were literally, the security guards grabbed him and were taking him out of the mall because his so-called shirt was offensive. Enough people rose up against them and they stopped it. And I don't know if you ever sued him or whatever, but I saw the shirt. It was nothing. It was a Jesus shirt like we'd all wear for ministry. Okay, so he didn't die by the sword, but he sure got cut up. You know, and so this is what I'm saying. So when we take these stories, we say, ah, this don't apply to us. That's for those guys over there in Nigeria. No, you don't know. You don't know what your cost is going to be. I don't know what my cost is going to be. I hope it's not that. Believe me, I am not. If I wanted that, I would just parachute into Iran with a Jesus shirt and a cross. I wouldn't make it to the ground, Curtis. I would be Swiss cheese. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? I don't think that's the right thing to do. Okay, so we get the point. Then the next verse, they suffered wanderings and afflictions. That was at Hebrews 11:37. You just write this down. I'm not going to read it, but it's 2 Kings 2:8-13. 2 Kings 2:8-13. They suffered wanderings and afflictions. Again, we can go through the Bible. This is, again, the incredible thing about God. He put all this bad stuff here. He put all the bad stuff in the Word so we can learn from it, so we can understand that He's more than enough. He's more than enough. And life is more than just, you know, dainties of life and things that are comfortable. Sometimes it's rough. Sometimes it's rough, man. We look at these videos on Nigeria and other places, these guys going on the mission field and what they're doing and the load they're carrying and all that, and it just inspires me, man. Inspires me. They suffered wanderings and afflictions. Now go to Hebrews 11:37 real quick. We're going to finish this, all right? You said I have five after, right? Yeah, okay, that was two of you. All right, y'all, the rest can go home. Because those weren't strong yes. They were like, yeah, yeah, go ahead. God's watching. Yeah, I said yes, God. Are you ready? All right, so let's look at this real quick. We won't get out of here. And they were stoned. Yes, most of the church right there. And they were, whoa, sorry, bad translation. And they were sawn asunder and were tempted. Again, church. And were slain with the sword, and they wandered about in what? Sheepskins and goatskins. And being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Tormented, what's this? They walked around. What that basically means is they didn't walk around in the finest of clothes. Some of your greatest people of faith on the earth don't have the best. I can only go by my experiences because those are my experiences, but all the nations that I've ever been to in the world, some of the greatest Christians I ever met had very little. But they had great faith with God. Great faith with God. Incredible faith. And then I've been around some rich Christians, who were duds. Big deal. They smelled good. They had Chanel number 5 on and whatever, you know, but they stunk. What's that? Stinky. Yeah, they stunk. That's what I'm saying. I get around. All right, I'm going to start preaching. Let me go. All right, next verse. I got to get out of here. Watch this. To whom the world was not worthy. Now watch this. Watch this going from individualism to corporate view, going from God's view to man's view. Man's view, especially, now you say you pick it on America. Well, because it pretty much will, the shoe fits. But in America, we look at somebody who doesn't have the most of things, and we say, oh my gosh, they're not, you know, well, who's that? They're not full of faith, you know, they're trash. Help me. They didn't drive up in the best car. They didn't wear the best clothes. They didn't have the best zip code address or genealogy or anything like that. And we look down on them. Wrong color, by the way. Wrong accent. These different things. And we look down upon them and say, no, 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 that's not the sign of success in American church. But a guy walks in, a girl walks in. They're dressed to the T's. They're totally knocked out, gorgeous, what have you. Perfect Ken and Barbie. And the church goes goo-goo. And thinks, put them on the front row because they look the best and they belong there for the cameras. You know that's the truth. And I know that for truth, being haven't been around a camera ministry, a TV ministry, where they put some of the shiniest people up front. No, I know so. Because when the camera pans, they don't want a 700-pound person sitting. I'm telling you the truth. Y'all don't think I'm telling you the truth. Because in church today, it's all about marketing. See, I like it here because we're authentic. If something happens, it happens. Somebody blurts out the wrong name, it just happens. You know, we just roll with it. You try to do live stream from Cuba and it don't work out, you just roll with it. You start tap dancing. By the way, we're going to get that worked out next Wednesday. We've got to get that worked out. No problems. Hopefully next Wednesday. I'll get with Carmen and let her know. You know, so we have this misconception. But then again, you go overseas and you see some of these folks. They don't have it made. They got the church, you know, in an open cab truck, you know, a back open of a truck in the blazing heat. You know, I can't give you all my experiences in 5 minutes, but you know what I'm talking about. The world's not worthy of these kind of people. That's how God looked at them. We say they're not worthy to be in our church. They're not worthy to be in our presence. But God said they're not even worthy to be in your presence. They're not even worthy to be right here. They were so awesome. I think those guys were awesome. They got cut in half. That don't sound like a victory to me. But see, God doesn't look at that way. He says, yes, they did. Why? Because they did it in faith, pal. Pretty good, huh? I don't know if he said pal, but you know what I'm saying. Okay? All right. So watch this. Whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and in mountains. This says nothing about Club Med. Says nothing about a resort. Says nothing about nothing except deserts and mountains. Sounds like they ain't got a house, does it? And if they do, it ain't one of the best. And in dens and caves of the earth. These were cavemen. See, what we view many times as barbaric, God views as blessed. Now, don't get me wrong. That doesn't mean we go outside and you know, comb our hair with manure and don't take care of ourselves and walk in like a pigsty and all those different things and just go around saying, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. You do have a little bit of, you know, decency about yourself, I hope. You do care about yourself the best you can. We're not talking about the outer things. What we're talking about is a person who doesn't have the riches of the world, but is so rich in Christ. Why? Because they walk by faith and they obey. Watch this. Okay, so next verse, we're going to close this out. And all these having attained a good report, how? Through faith. Hebrews 11:2 talks about receiving the report, right? A testimony and good report? Yeah, it does, don't it? So all these having attained a good report through faith, they got a good report from God, how? Through faith. Not by what they had, but by their travels and their walk through faith. But watch this, they received not the promise. Again, here in our lives, in the way we've been taught, I want my promise now. Don't we? It doesn't always come that way. Come on, you go through a drive-thru, you've only been in there 2 minutes. Think about this, folks. Now, back in the day when drive-thrus would take 10 minutes, that was for eternity. Now they're speeding things up where they almost throw you the food. And it ain't fast enough. They got 2 lanes, 4 lanes, 20 people. Cashier right there. Go to Chick-fil-A. They're cashing right there. I don't know what's next. Catapulting your sandwich into the car is coming. I don't know. But how many of y'all know that's too long? No, you know it's the truth. We get all mad about it and let one fry be 10 degrees lower than the other fries, and there will be H-E-double-L to pay. People get so mad about it, don't they? Look, I'm going to finish this up here. Write down these scriptures, if you don't mind. These are Old Testament promises. They did not receive the promises. In other words, they didn't get what they were promised in the sense in the natural. Hebrews 10, 36 through 37. I'll read it twice, then I got to move on. Hebrews 10, 36 through 37. Luke 1, 67 through 79. That's Luke 1, 67, 39. Romans 1, 2 through 5. Romans 1, 2 through 5. Okay? So this was talking about the Old Testament saints. They relied upon the promises of the Messiah, but they didn't get to see him. This is what it was talking about. They didn't get to see the full restoration. They didn't get to see redemption. They did not get to see Christ and his church. That's what it's speaking of in the deepest of sense. Hebrews 11 is talking about those who went by faith, following, knowing, and believing there was something beyond where they were. There was a city whose builder and maker was who? God. They knew in their hearts about the Messiah. They knew it was coming. They knew he was coming, but they never got to it. But by faith, they prevailed. And by faith, they persevered. The principle for you and I is this. We may not get temporal things that we specifically would want right now, but there is a reward in heaven. We don't have the totality of who Jesus is, but we have a down payment. He's called the Holy Spirit, who has sealed us until that day. So we, by faith, we keep walking, keep working, and keep fighting till that day comes. And that day seems to be coming closer every single day for sure. Okay, so that's the part of Hebrews. We'll move to other parts of faith next time we get together. I hope that blessed you. Remember, it's not about individualism. It's about the corporate body. It's about the corporate plan of what heaven has for us on earth. Father, thank you. We love you. We bless you. And we honor you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, thank you so much. Amen.